that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will
even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning and time for coffee with the Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a brisk spring morning here at the Radio Ranch this March 25th, 2023. And we've got a full crew on this morning. Brother Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Josh, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, glad you had a few minutes to join us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Guys, I don't know if anybody else came on. Guess not. But good morning to you, Remnant. We thank you for joining us. Hopefully you've got your coffee. I'm finishing up my first cup and got another one here waiting. And it's in my Yeti cup. Jason got me a nice Yeti cup for my birthday last year. And I tell you, they work. They keep that coffee hot. So, but thank you, Remnant, for joining us. Hope you have your coffee. Hope you have your Bibles with you. And, you know, where we go from there, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Josh, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We do thank you for the blessings, Lord, of life. We thank you for that blood that was shed, Lord, so that we could be cleansed, we could be healed, that we could be have our sins bought and paid for, Lord. And every day we can get up as a new day and claim that blood. Work in your service, Lord, as you allow us to do. And I pray that we would be mighty Christian soldiers, Lord, that stand on the rock, which we are set, Lord, stand on your word and not be swayed by the winds that go back and forth east and west, Lord, but to be grounded in your foundation and to be a tool to help your remnant, Lord. Pray that you give us a servant heart, Lord, and help us not to be proud and haughty, Lord, but to be humble and thankful. Pray that you help us to be mighty Christian men and women, Lord, and stand in the gap until it's time. We do. We do love you, Lord, and we lift up your name. You're worthy to be praised. And I pray that you help us to draw near to you every day. Lift up all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Remnant, I mentioned it this morning, and it was just last night, but tornadoes through Mississippi. The reports this morning are at least 23 from Mississippi were killed. Last night's violent tornadoes, many more are injured. Search and rescue teams have been out. And as it's getting daylight, that you know they're doing more. And so, boy, I saw a map, tornado outbreak, radar in reports, and just a severe storms. Pretty not really just localized, but across, I guess, upper Mississippi. But I saw this, and wanted to share this as well. And Remnant, I'd sure ask you to keep those in prayer. We are to share one another's burdens. We are to pray for those that are weak and that are in turmoil. And so I do recommend that you keep that in mind today and this week. That's pretty devastating. The Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves sent out a report early this morning. He said the loss will be felt in these towns forever. Please pray for God's hand to be over all who lost family and friends. And I sure thought that that was appropriate, and it's good to see, you know, from the governor at least, and but pretty tough time in parts of Mississippi this morning, waking up to or having morning after a night of tornado and storms and stuff, and so. Do ask you to, and I understand the storms come, they do, but I would ask you, Remnant, to keep our neighbors over there in prayer. And plenty more going on. Anybody got anything hot and heavy on their mind they want to start off with this morning?
I don't know. You look around and it's you know, it's kind of, you can throw like throwing darts at a dartboard. There's so many different things going on. This Bidenflation is something that's, you know, is a big deal, and you know, it's you look at the long term effects of that, and that's going to be very interesting. I mean, we've got inflation, we've got interest rates that are through the roof, we've got, you know, the run on the banks, we've got people that are telling you to get out of the banks. You've got an administration that's telling you, okay, well, we're gonna oversee what the FDIC does. And you know, basically, it's if you look at it, that can be the fall of Babylon, because that is their Babylonian system, their economic system. And you know, the more that I watch this stuff on this financial stuff and how much they don't know what is going on. They can't explain it except for to, you know, say that, yeah, we've got inflation and the interest rates are up. They really don't know what's going on, but it's an interesting scenario. And a lot of it is, I just see the handwriting on the wall and it's crashing.
Yeah, it's really deteriorating fast. And, you know, there's no one that's going to be immune from it.
No.
I seen on the bottom of the screen, it just said on the bottom of the screen, we don't need 5,000 banks. So there's internal strife going on, too, that they don't mind see the other guy fall. And they're cold. Children of the devil is what it is, and they don't have a foundation, and the church has no foundation. So if they don't, who could?
Good point.
And it's not just in the U.S. You know, the headlines this morning are that over in the U.K., inflation is still soaring there, up another 10%. Food prices are, you know, impacting everybody there, just like we're seeing it here. Is it the Deutsche? I don't know how you pronounce it. D-E-U-T-S-H, Deutsche Bank plunging. You know, lots of concern with shareholders and people invested there again on the international scene. And it sure seems like that's what it is. You know, that they it is part of that this falling of Babylon. You know, the recent fall of this Silicon Valley Bank out in California. Now there's always a little bit more to it, but you know, the recurring theme that sure seemed like it's been lately is that the things done in the dark will be brought to the light. And so here's a recent report that a subsidiary branch of the Silicon Valley Bank, the SPD Silicon Valley Bank, was a 50-50 joint venture between the Chinese Communist Party state-owned Shanghai Pudong Development Bank and Silicon Valley Bank Financial. And so, yeah, come to find out that, oh, this bank crashed. Well, why did it crash? You know? And then they start looking into it, like you said, Jason, the government saying, oh, they're going to jump behind the FDIC and we're sure going to make sure that everybody's okay on these banks. And come to find out that, you know, China's neck deep in this Silicon Valley Bank. Imagine that. And that kind of connects the dots as to why.
Well, that's not, that doesn't have anything to do with why they failed. I mean, that was actually, their money was the good money that was involved in that bank. It was because they were still focused on being a woke bank. They wanted to have blacks, they wanted to have women, and they wanted to have trannies. I mean, they were so focused on getting rid of anybody that was straight or anybody that was white in that bank, as far as the administration goes, and they wanted to be woke. They didn't give two hoots about being a good bank, about investing money wisely. They wanted to be on the forefront of, you know, having, you know, transgendered perverts on, you know, at the tellers and at their administration.
Well, that is sure, that is sure failing across the nation. Because woke Disney, you know, Disney's doing the same thing. They've done the same thing. They've, they've been at the forefront of that. And 7,000 layoffs that Disney is looking at just at the parks. And you know, again, there's part of that Babylon falling, you know, that they are not making the money with that. And NPR is as well. Looks like NPR, their latest reports are firing 10% of their staff. And so, absolutely.
Hopefully for another 10% more.
Absolutely. And so, but that's what it is. You're seeing that these woke policies are allowing the companies to go broke. Just like the meme says, go woke and go broke. And it's not just we hope this happens. This is what we're seeing as part of this economy, and it's like you had mentioned earlier. It's part of that that banking that just ain't working no more.
Well, you've never seen a more self-centered group of people than woke people, transgender. Homosexuals, anything like that, because I mean they want to do their thing and not have, you know, they just want to worry about themselves and have fun, and they don't look at a traditional union between a man and a woman as something of any value, you know, with children, they don't look at stuff like that as assets. They look at that as liabilities. You know, you can read about that all in the Old Testament. You know, Manasseh, the king of Judah, you know, he was the catalyst that made Judah fall because of that exact reason. So, like, you never met a more group of self-centered people than those people. I can remember when COVID first started and everybody was freaking out. I remember me and my wife, we went to the grocery store. We were just buying groceries for the week. We got a bunch of kids, and I seen these two homosexuals. They were just throwing stuff into the cart because they were scared. You know, those guys, their end result is nothingness. It's failure. It's death. They are going to fail. And their bank, because of those policies, they're going down because of it. And I'm glad. You know, it just makes me sit there and think, well, you know what? It's spring. Spring is coming. I'm starting to see my crocuses coming up and in my yard. And I just know that I'm going to plant a really good, awesome garden this year. And because if you want to fight inflation, grow your own food. You know, we got to get smart. Things might get a little bit tough, but, you know, I was sitting there talking with somebody this morning. I was having coffee with them this morning, and their wife is literally going to these classes to be self-sufficient. She doesn't want to worry about what's going on around her. She's relying, and she knows instinctively that it's going to fail. Sooner or later, the system's going to fail. And she's prepping and getting ready. And he's like, I don't know what I've gotten started. But he goes, it's like she's going all out because she understands that she's going to have to rely on her own knowledge. And I just think that's wonderful. People are waking up, and the ones that come out on the end of this are really going to be the ones that truly have their faith in God.
Well, and they know it too, Zach, and that's why they're scrambling and scraping and panicking, is because they know what's coming.
Yeah.
Well, what's really going on here? We're suffering from accumulated debt. We're not, you know, in God's way, you're supposed to unload that debt every 7 years. And what I understand, that the Liberty Bell cracked in Philadelphia on a jubilee when they didn't keep it. And, I mean, this nation was started on the word of God and stuff like that, but it don't take long for an Israelite to wander off the path in his own ways. It's our nature, too. You know, sometimes we look at this whole thing as our nature and what's going on, but what we're dealing with is accumulated debt that cannot be paid. It just needs to be written off and start all over. And that's happened to some degree where it's forced to, but that's the whole house is built wrong. It has to fall. Like I said before, you're going to buy a house, you go down the basement, look at the foundation, and then you look at the roof, make sure there ain't been no leaks, and then you can fix anything else, but you got to have a foundation. And this nation don't have a foundation. The Judeo-Christianity is part of the problem. They're double-minded in everything they do, and they don't know what sin is. You will hardly find a person on the street that knows what sin is. I only found one. Well, actually, I found two that said they were Lutherans, and they said, well, it's a violation of God's law, but they said it by their mouth, but they don't live it. You know what I mean? But they did know what sin was, a violation of the Ten Commandments. They told me, well, at the start, but they didn't understand it. But I only found two people that could ever even give me an answer. So if you don't know what sin is, you don't even know what you're doing wrong. Yeah, I'm a sinner, but I don't know what I'm doing. You know, it's insanity. We got to go back and start all over. We can't go back. We have to go from this day forward. So, yeah, it's coming to a head right before our very eyes. I see riots in France. They're burning stuff, too. I mean, it's all over the world. It's got to be an end times deal.
We can't go back, but we can go to that foundation and we can shore up that foundation, you know, because He's there. It's there every day for us. It's waiting on us. And we just got to make that choice. And so the other evening I was listening to a couple of men. And, you know, I'm talking about blue collar worker guy types, rough around the edges. And, they were talking and, they got off onto the conversation of God and free will and, predestination and all that. And one of the guys was arguing the point that, you know, well, God knows everything and he knows what we're going to do. And so it doesn't matter what we do because it's of no consequence anyway. And, you know, we're all just along for the ride and, you know, it just doesn't matter what we do. And, I understand where he's coming from on that point with, you know, the scriptures he, cited, but also too in Galatians 5, it says, for you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for your flesh, but do love, serve one another. Where there's countless scriptures that talks about our free will and free to choose. And to me, that is a, it's a cop out. And it's, I guess one of those, I think it's a Judeo-Christian thing of, you know, that it doesn't matter what we do because no matter what we do, it's coming to the same, end result. And that's not true though. It does matter what we do, the decisions that we make. God wants us to follow him. But we do have a choice of what we do every single morning with our lives, whether we're going to fear, whether we're going to flee, whether we're going to fight, whether we're going to live for him or live for ourselves, live for the flesh and turn our back on him and turn our back on our brother. And, so I just sat there and listened and took him the different perspectives, but we absolutely have a choice every moment of every day, which God we're going to serve. And that will determine that our outcome here and how it goes for us.
Oh, amen.
I was raised in a church that taught predestination, you know, and I've looked at it. It's in the Bible and stuff like that. But what my answer to that was, I said, that's about what God is. I said, that don't really eliminate your duties to find out. But the predestination and the rapture doctrine is probably done in order to destroy people that in this time and age, because, they don't, yeah, whatever, do whatever you want, and that's a free-for-all. Well, that's just not it. When you read Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, we got all the curses. Now, that should tell you something right there. So, and then you got to identify the players, you know. Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, who's got all the persecution? If you know, I have a TV, I had rabbit ears and stuff. I got on the internet or whatever. But what little I see of it, the thing is turning black. And my wife said the other day, where did they get all these black actors? You know, but I'm telling you what, it's 75 to 80, 90% black now. And but that's God keeping his word. The alien will rule over you, you know? I don't know. Yeah, we're reaping what we sow, but there is going to be a remnant saved, and we got to keep our eyes on that. And I think that's what this ministry is about, is trying to warn people. You know, Lamentations, sometimes it's a bad story to tell, but it has to be told, you know, and it ain't all bed of roses like they try to mail you. So, and everybody goes to heaven. Well, that's a bull crap too.
Well, life is hard, and thankfully we get to choose our hard, you know, we get to choose whether our hard is eating right and being active and being healthy, or if our heart is eating a bunch of junk and having diabetes and high blood pressure and everything that goes along with being out of shape. And you can take and make that parallel for thousands of things. You know, your heart can be living for God and suffering some persecution and denying the flesh, and or you can, all the other end of that spectrum, you can be one of these bankers that's enjoyed you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and everything that you can buy with money. But you can't buy that end ticket with money, and that's a fact. And there is no escape. God's word will be carried out, and things are going to be set right. We're going to get those foundations right, like what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it's becoming so evident on so many different fronts. And I like you. I like the way that you put that, Josh. It's you know, you're gonna choose, and you know, it's basically the decision is yours. You know, you're gonna figure it out. So, it's going on so many different fronts. You know, this week, and it's evident that, you know, there's lines that are being drawn and people are being exposed. I mean, this is off of the subject, but and I usually don't read the Jewish news, but basically they introduced legislation this week to outlaw the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll just read the first part of this article because it's, you know, it's good and it's telling, but it says it could soon become a crime in the state of Israel to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone who is not already a believer. Two members of the blah, 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 whatever it is, legislation would make it illegal to tell others about Jesus Christ. The penalty for such of being 1 year in jail if the person is an adult and 2 years in prison if the person is a minor. And, you know, that's telling. That's going back to, you know, back to their roots in their bastardized state of Israel, is what they want. And that's what they want for, a worldwide plan, is to basically outlaw the preaching of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think that tells you a lot about who they are and what they are and what they're doing.
Well, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but they're pushing that anti-Semitism stuff hard. A couple weeks ago, I'd seen it on the news, and then this week I was in a tire shop, and then once again the news was hammering that, you know, we're coming after the anti-Semitics, and, you know, this intolerance will not be tolerated. And, you know, that's a push that they're making hard, you know, trying to scare everybody and push us back and, you know, away from the truth of what's going on. And, so I will say, turn off the news. It makes me so angry. I don't even like being around it. And so I asked the guy at the tire shop, walked there, I said, man, how do you deal with this being on all day, every day? And he said, well, I tune it out. I said, cause it makes me angry whenever they're sitting here, you know, spewing this garbage and lies and, you know, deceit. There's nothing good that's coming of it. Fear mongering and, oh, we just tune it out, you know, don't pay any attention. But it's not good for us to be sitting there in front of that stuff all the time. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was just talking with a guy this week, and he had went over to the state of Israel, and he was doing archaeological digs, and, you know, he's telling me how, you know, how great it was to be there. And I was like, I just sat there and I listened to him, and I brought up the maledictory oath to him from Genesis 15 and how Israel got hauled off. And then Jesus died, and how Israel was released from the law, and how that was a land contract, and Jesus died and rose again. So whose land is it, really, if God released it because of that land contract? And I was in a little bit more detail than that with them. And he just sat there and looked at me, and he didn't have an answer. And I realized, you know, when you're sitting there talking about Bible stuff with people, it's like you're in a court. And when you listen to the prosecution and then you listen to the defense, the prosecution doesn't speak when the defense is speaking, and neither does the other. And literally, that was probably the most headway I've ever made with somebody. And I just sit there and listen to them tell me what they knew or thought they knew, you know? And I got to thinking about it, like, maybe we as the remnant, because, you know, when you sit there and you get listening to people and you get engaged into a biblical talk, everybody just wants to sit there and let everybody know what they know. And you never really seem to get anywhere. But I just listen to him and listen to what he says. And I'm like, well, what about this? And then literally, like, it made the guy think. And that's kind of what we got to do, is make people think about, you know, I don't know what was going through that guy's head, but, you know, he can go back and proof check everything that I told him. And, you know, it's a journey. My journey to learn the truth literally took me 3 years before everything clicked. And, you know, we just got to keep pushing and pushing and don't deviate, and we'll be victorious, because that's just how I think. I want to win, you know. I don't know if anything I just said there makes any sense at all, but, you know.
Well, it completely does, because there's two different kinds of listening. The one kind of listening is when you're just listening and waiting to your turn, for your turn to respond. You know, you just want to be heard and what have you. And then the other kind of listening is whenever you really care about the other side of the conversation and you're trying to listen and understand where they're coming from, understand what they're saying, understand, okay, well, why are you saying that? And then, you know, because there's a possibility you might be the one that's sitting there learning. You know, I think you got it all figured out and you got it wrong. But then once you hear them out, well, then if you know something different that comes from the Word of God, something that's truth that you can stand on, then you can share that. But when we listen just until it's our turn to talk, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, the good book says, listen much and speak little, you know, and Jesus never hardly argued with anybody. He always asked a question. See, what you do, you flip it, you put the burden of proof back on him to prove what he's thinking. And that's, you've got to ask a question. It works a lot better than arguing, because arguing doesn't work at all. I've done plenty of it.
Yeah, and Josh, I like your point, because you never know. You might have to, like, you might need a lesson to be learned from that person that's talking. And, you know, you just, I'm not saying, yeah, keep an open mind, because others, people, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's the one thing that's great about the United States. You're allowed to have an opinion. And, like, the way I look at it, like, God gave us a set of rules, which is his law. And if you work inside those rules, you can have an opinion about a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be like everybody else's. And you got to respect somebody else's point of view, because they just might know it better than you. I had a guy tell me the other week, he's like, why don't you just do this? Well, the reason was because I've been doing it a certain way for so many years, I couldn't see it another way. And this dude shows up in 2 minutes and is like, we'll do that. And he had me. I'm like, you're right. I got to do it this way. But, you know, does he have as much experience as I do? No. But you never know what that guy sees or what that counterpart sees. So you got to be able to take in what they're saying. And then, like you said, Josh, see where they're coming from. And then, you know, make the adjustments that you have to make, too.
Because we might be the ones cutting the end off of the roast, you know, but it's the way we've always done it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good sometimes to realize that there is you can get a larger pan, you know, if that's what you need to do. But we still just base it all on, again, on that foundation that we talked about earlier, on that truth of the Word. And, Paul, like you said, you know, if you can ask questions, like you did, Zach, well, hey, don't you realize this was a land contract, and this is how the contract laid out, and, you know, so what now? You ask a question, you present the truth of the Word, And if, yeah, like you men said, if you can get people to think about the word, sometimes that's what's needed, to get them to think about it, not just to say, well, that's what Brother Billy says on Sunday morning from the pulpit, you know, or that's what, Father so-and-so is always taught, but that they think of, you know, just like Pastor taught us, hey, don't take my word for it. Take what I'm telling you back to the Word of God and see if that's not what it says. And,
well, I was more referring about us thinking about the Word.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're supposed to be the ones that know it. And so as we're listening to what they're saying, we need to be applying that to the Word ourselves and us be the ones thinking about the Word and then measuring by that, you know, not necessarily the other guy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Always got to be looking for the log in your eye before you get too lippy.
Yes, that's a good, you know, we talked about that last week at church, you know, take heed when you stand, lest you fall, you know, just, you know, do the old double check. And that's a good prayer to pray, you know, Lord, let me get that log out of my eye before I start looking for splinters elsewhere. And you know, and it's part of humbling yourself before God. And when you do that, well, you know, that's when he puts these other opportunities in front of you, you know, to talk to people, like you said, Zach, that have been over there in Israel, oh, this and that. And well, what about this? What about that? And it's not that, you know, you're blasting him on saying, oh, you're wrong and you're so stupid. You don't even know. Nothing like that at all. It's given in love and in hopes that he'll think it through.
Well, you know, in Galatians, it talks about that. Correct your brother patiently because he said the next time it might be you. And that's just what we're all talking about here. And a teachable spirit is very, very important. You know, don't think you know it all because like y'all have said, we might need to be fine tuning too. And you'll never know where that comes from. Because sometimes a simple truth that a guy has is so simple and so profound that you don't need a lot of experience. So, yeah, a teachable spirit, even amongst us, is very important.
Amen. You know, you mentioned that, Paul, and the thought occurs, where did, what did Joseph learn from? What did it take for Joseph to learn? It took
a lot of adversity.
A lot of adversity. It took slavery and pits and prisons for him to learn. And
rejection.
Rejection, yeah. And but he learned it. You know, he drew closer to God. And sometimes when we have those things in our life that we have to, you know, we have to realize and remember the story of Joseph, I think, that, you know, those were the things he had to go through to learn. You know, he was certainly a different man when he faced his brothers in Egypt than he was when he was bragging about his, you know, many years earlier about his vision of them bowing down to him. He was certainly a different man.
You know, one of the things that you know, we're raising and training the future generations, and we want the generations to be better than we are. We want them to be more efficient. We want them to live a better and godlier life than what we were able to do based on the way we were trained before. And so, like, the example I'm thinking of is, you know, my son and daughter they're in band, and my son plays one of the horns. And I went to one of his concerts, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him play, and they have the band director up there, and you know, he's an old, he's an Iraq infantry war vet. And like, my son just thinks the world of this guy. And he's sitting there and I'm watching my son play, and he's like he would just take his eyes off his sheet music every once in a while to see where the director was. And I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, here's my son reading music. I don't have a musical bone in my body. I couldn't tell you what any of that means. And I'm sitting there watching my son read this and play these beautiful songs. And he gets done and he goes, Dad, he goes, did I do a good job? And I looked at him and I'm like, boy, you know more about music now than I will ever know. Ever. I am not the person to ask because you are better than me at it. And that's mission accomplished. He thought I knew something about it. When in reality, I know nothing. And, you know, like, I just thought that that was a great growth spurt in his life. We're like, yeah, I do know stuff better than Dad. And that's not wrong. It's not right. I'm not saying be disrespectful, but, you know, he does. And I had to commend him for that. And I had to congratulate him for it. And I'm proud of him for it.
Well, and I think
it was a big step in your growth too, Zach.
Well, I mean, everybody thinks that because they're the head honcho or the dad that they know everything. And, you know, I've learned a lot of things. Like, I don't know everything.
You're on the right track.
But you know, to your point. We are training them up, and they're watching everything that we do. So don't think that we can pull a fast one and they're not going to notice or nobody's going to notice. They are. They do notice, and everybody around you notices. When you do something a little bit crooked at work or not straight up or whatever, people know whenever you're cheating. They know when you're lying. And every time you do something like that, that's a little chink in your character. And, you know, your name goes down with folks. And that's, once again, about making that hard choice. You make a mistake, own up to it. You know, you could have shot him a line of bull and be like, well, this was off a little bit, but you did great on blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what it's about. Be humble. And no, son, I don't know anything about that, but think you're doing great. We make a mistake, own that mistake, and that goes way further with folks whenever you're just trying to skate around and shoot everybody line of bull and you know, just get by.
This war that we're in will not be won by force, it'll be won by humility. George Washington spent his winter in Valley Forge on his knees praying, and that's how he beat the biggest army in the world. And was God actually intervened in that whole situation? And we got to get that through our bony heads. We're not going to do this with firearms and power. It's going to be with humility and obedience. That's going to change the course of time and stuff. And that's my take on it.
He is the only reason we had the opportunity to get up this morning, and he has given us this day, and he. This group of men here talking, he gave us the blessing of being able to be a part of this radio program. And so I normally try to pray that everything we say would be a blessing to the remnant, be a servant to the remnant before we get on the air. Because it's a blessing to us to be able to bless other people and share experiences. And Paul, I can't tell you how much you've helped me over the years, and I appreciate that. And I try to do that same thing for other folks, passing that mantle of the torch, you know, as we go.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open. Got a couple minutes left in the program here. If you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. We'll do our best to take your call.
Yeah, I don't really like to ever tell anybody how to be because I might be wrong.
Well, you know, everybody's got their talent. You know, the religion got all these denominations. With true Christianity, there's no room for denominations. Now, we all manifest ourselves in different ways and our own talent and stuff like that. But we got to humble ourselves where we sometimes you can just help out. Sometimes you do know. Sometimes the best thing to do is keep your mouth shut and let them figure it out for themselves. But when they start asking questions, that's a really good sign. So, yeah, we're getting to that point. You know, Pastor Peters, you talking about this, you know, when he was on that pulpit, you just listened. But when he wasn't on the pulpit, he had what he called the acres of diamonds, man, and he listened really good. A lot of people don't know that about him, but I'm telling you, when he wasn't preaching, he was listening. And he was very, very teachable right to the end.
Yes, great example. Great example. You know, we talked earlier about this banking system failing and it being part of Babylon falling and that. But, you know, I think if you look at the remnant, you know, Zach, your business is booming, isn't it?
Yeah, I keep work every day. Yeah. I mean, I was just talking with a guy this morning, and he was telling me he's still getting calls all the time. I mean, he's like every day. So it's still going, but I do think people are going to be tightening up soon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like the residential isn't as fast, but where I'm at this time, where I live and what part of, I mean, it's going to take a little bit, but, yeah, we keep going and, there's no, you know, I got work every day, so I'm blessed. So we're a pretty young company, but I happen to know the right people.
And I mentioned that because I've noticed that when you look around that people that are not afraid to work. I was talking with a neighbor, a believer, that 64, he works for a guy up the road, and they've got a big construction and hauling and, you know, rock and dirt and just all types of stuff, demolition and stuff. You know, he said he can't get people to work. Now, they're booming, they're growing, they're wanting to expand, but they can't get people to work to where they can do that. And talked to another man this week, and he's a little bit older and still working and has put on another crew and has, like you said, you know, work every day. And even his daughter and her husband, they've opened up some salons, and they've opened up two more here in the last 6 months, right here in our little town. And but you know, they're believers in Jesus Christ. They're hard workers, and they're not looking to the government for a handout. And so I think it's encouraging. You know, that if you want to work, if you have your priorities straight, you know, these people aren't druggies. They aren't caught up in the keep up with the Joneses type of worldly Babylon mentality. I just think it's another good example of, we're going to get by, that things are going to, they'll be tight. They'll be tight, but it's not the end for all. Guys, we got a phone call here. Let's see if we can get it in real quick. Hey, thanks for holding, and thanks for calling into the program this morning.
Hello, brothers. This is Brother John Kevin from Buffalo, New York. I appreciate you guys. Just want to say, and all the remnant out there, blessed Abib because of Pastor Peters. In his book, really going to be celebrating the first Abib that I really understand what's going on at Passover, and just praise God for that. Thank you, men. And I just want to say, Andy, over there in North Carolina, Floyd, I think you're in like Washington State or Oregon, Patrick, Minnesota, a Catholic man called in a couple weeks ago. We're praying for you, and hope you guys are doing well out there. Like to hear from you again. And just on one note with Second Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11, this ties into what Paul was saying. It's also found in 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7 with Jonathan when he went to fight the Philistines. And both of them said, and Asa cried. This is in 2 Chronicles 14, 11. And Asa, however you pronounce his name, Asa, cried unto Jesus, his God, and said, Jesus, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Jesus, our God, for we trust in thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O God. Thou art our God. Let that man prevail against us. And in both cases, with Asa, how you pronounce it, and Jonathan over there in 1 Samuel, God wrought a mighty victory. And over in 1 Samuel, they didn't even have any, only two guys of the whole army had weapons because they were under such oppression and everything else. So I just want to say, appreciate you, dear men. Blessings to all your households, your families, and to those on the line. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, John. Thank you. God bless. And amen. Power. Power in his name. Absolutely. Well, men, thank you. Thanks for joining us this morning. And while we got a minute, do want to remind you, it is, as our brother from New York said, it's new year, new solar year of 2023, and starts out the month of Abib, if you look at it in the Bible, and the 14th will be Passover, and that will be, it'll correspond on our calendar to next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, April 2nd, 2023, and we're planning on a early evening live Passover service from the LaPorte Church of Christ. And so this time next week, good Lord willing, we'll invite you to join us twice next Sunday for the early morning services, and then also to come back at 6 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, and 5 o'clock on the West Coast on Sunday, April 2nd, for our Passover service. So, well, men, thanks again for taking time out of your busy mornings, and thanks for the encouragement. It is encouraging. I know we're encouraged, Remnant, with the phone calls and your prayers and support, and we thank you for that. And join us at church tomorrow. You can go to scripturesforamerica.org. We'll start up at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, and we'll have a scriptural insight. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth from Pastor Peters, and then a new message for you, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion as well. So we hope you'll join us, and again, that's at scripturesforamerica.org.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
Ha! Keep moving. disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them over, ride them over, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them over, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.